Headaches are plenty in this week's FPL pod. What to do with Wolves and one of Jules's fave Frenchmen? We pick our ideal front and back lines, and Mr. Laron would like to report an FPL theft. Hello again, guys. Thursday morning means one thing, FPL pod. Back with you, Kelly Summers, Julian Laron and Sam Bonfield here to look ahead to game week 17. We're at the point in the season, almost, I think, where we're not going to know what day of the week it is. We're not going to know who's playing what games is football every day. I'm definitely already at the point of not knowing what game week it is, but I've double checked and it is 17. I think I got it wrong in the intro to last week's pod. So guys, just bear with us. It's Christmas, all right? Anyway, good to have Jules and Sam back with us. Jules, you kept us waiting this morning. Train's not on your side, but yeah, you better be worth the wait, is all I'm saying. How was your game week?
Of course. It wasn't too bad, Kelly. Hi, everyone. 57 points. Another green arrow. The fourth in a row now. It could have been obviously better if the big boys had returned a bit more, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But Lewis Hall with 15 points made my weekend, I won't lie. My boy Saliba returned as well. I was quite close with a clean sheet for Henderson, and in the end, that 87th minute comical own goal like really, really annoyed me, to be fair. And Cunha and Nico also up front return when Evan Nilsson should have returned and missed a couple of big chances. So really, the only bad news is Ait Nouri, I think, for a lot of us. And also, I left Anthony Robinson on the bench for the Liverpool-Fulham game, and clearly I shouldn't have.
It could be worse. You could have left Mbeumo and Mikalenko on the bench.
Nobody would do that, surely. Who would do that?
No, of course, because
How many points on your bench, Kel?
16.
Wow! Some bench boost already, that is.
I mean, you would be in the top 200,000 in the world if you...
Well, the thing is, I've had a good climb the last few weeks. So I was due a kind of bad decision or something going against me, and it was a double whammy this week. Every time Mikalenko returns, he's on my bench. But anyway, yeah, it was the first time in a few weeks, guys, that both of you have beaten me. That's all I'm saying. But yeah, another green arrow. Jules, I think it was actually 6 in the last 7 weeks for you.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
slowly getting better. Yeah.
Sam, for you as well, another good game week. You're climbing the ranks as well. Green arrow again?
Yeah, another green arrow. So that's nice. And I always like it when I beat you two as well. So that made me happy this weekend. Double Arsenal defence coming in trumps again. They seem to be the differential makers for me. If they keep their clean sheet, then it goes well. And if they don't, then it's not so good like last week. Obviously, I had Lewis Hall as well. So that felt very, very nice when he picked up that absolute haul. The right captain, just, I think, given that it was really a conversation.
It didn't feel like it at the time, did it? Like when he only got an assist, you're like, oh, we're gonna get done here. And then actually watch those games, it's like, oh, got a bit lucky there.
Absolutely. And I was looking at our mini league, and obviously Ian's still in it, and he captained Palmer, and I was thinking, oh, he's gonna go flying up because we'd all gone for Salah. So when he blanked, and I was watching obviously Spurs game on Sunday night, and I was so worried about the Chelsea game and the fact that I only had Palmer and I hadn't captained him. I had the text app up on my phone watching or listening to the Chelsea game come through while I was watching Spurs. And I was like, every 5 minutes, I was like, I don't know how we're going to get away with Palmer not getting anything, because it was very much a Chelsea attack show again, that one. But Bruno Fernandes doing not a lot and then scoring a penalty to pick up some bonus points as well was very welcomed in my team. Can't help but feel a little bit annoyed with Solanke though, Kels. 5 goals and just an assist.
Yeah, I thought of you with that game, because when you get 5 goals for their number 9, you'd think you're probably going to get at least 2 returns, wouldn't you, really?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm watching that first half, like, great, this is brilliant. Spurs doing well. This is lovely. Solanke just having an assist by half time. I was like, I can't decide whether I'm happy or really, really annoyed that Solanke's not got more. And I knew that we were going to come out and be not so attacking in the second half and just try and see it out, because obviously it's a big week for Spurs this week with Liverpool at the weekend and then the Manchester United game this evening. So yeah, we coasted at home, which is something that Postecoglou sides don't normally do. So that was interesting, but yeah, a bit disappointed there. But 59, decent week. Ray and Ait Nouri, I'm not happy with you.
No, don't think anyone is, to be honest. I was at work and I can see what's happening, and at full time I was like, I think I know what's going to happen here. You could just kind of see it all unfolding. I didn't see him actually get the red card because we cut away to something else. It was only then when I checked the app and I thought, well, that was the most predictable thing. You could see it coming. Anyway, we'll talk about that in just a moment. Just a few of the headlines. You've actually both touched upon them there, because we had a lot of these players. Saka, Palmer, Haaland again. None of us, of course, owning Haaland now. All blank. Salah got just the assist. We did think it was going to be... It's one of those weeks where I think we all looked at our teams and thought they all have really good fixtures, so they're all going to get hauls, and it just is never the case. When they've got too good a fixture, it's almost like you don't get the returns. Anyway, it was also a bad weekend, as Sam mentioned, for left backs. Ait Nouri sent off Robertson and Cucurella as well. And of course, we've seen two managerial sackings. We saw two in around 12 hours, I think it was on Sunday, with Wolves and Southampton both sacking Gary O'Neill and Russell Martin, respectively, after Ipswich and Spurs beat both of those teams. And of course, it's been a busy week as well, because Jules has been here, there and everywhere, which means that there's loads of midweek football. Not Champions League this week, though, because it's EFL Cup action. Arsenal, Crystal Palace, Newcastle, Brentford, Southampton and Liverpool all played last night. As Sam said, Spurs and Manchester United will also play tonight. So we can't totally rest easy in terms of injuries for our teams. Oh, and of course, Chelsea. Sorry, I forgot. They've got Europa Conference League game tonight too. Then game week 17 starts on Saturday. I'll just check in on the FPL Pod Mini League before we dive into some of those headlines and things that may have happened during the week. At the top, it's getting really interesting. James White is top. Joe Linton, Enjoyer, his team, 65 points, 1 point ahead of second place Charlie Shepherd, who scored 64. They are 25th and 26th in the world. Taiwo Lekan is in fifth, the only manager in our top 10 to still have his first wildcard chip to play. Play it quickly. Gosh, I'm a bit worried he's going to not notice, because there's the game, the kind of deadlines come so quickly. So yeah, just a reminder for everyone at this point, the game week 19 deadline on Sunday, the 29th of December at 1 p.m. That is your final opportunity to play the chip. You do not get to carry it into the second half of the season. So please don't waste what is such a valuable chip. And if you're fifth in our mini league and you've still got your wild card, I am very jealous. That could really help propel you to the top. Yeah, the code is Q7YCO0. Okay, then let's pick up on some of those big talking points. So many of us own Rayan Ait Nouri. What are we doing, Sam?
Apart from being really, really annoyed with him for not keeping hold of his emotions at the end of that game.
But also, I'm just a little bit annoyed that it feels like we've owned him for this run of fixtures. Yeah. And it's maybe Cunha's been the only Wolves player that's been worth having. Jules, he was your boy. He was meant to really deliver
Paris
over this period.
A bit less today, Paris Born and Bred, to be fair, after the red cards. But no, but where you're right, Kelly, is that even outside of the red card is bad, and it's minus two, and it's never good to have a minus, and that, you know, that red flashing on your app or wherever you play. It's just that he hasn't been good enough anyway since a lot of us have brought him in, to be fair. So yeah, the red card is bad, and obviously there's the suspension coming. I forgive him, obviously, because he's my boy, but that was bad. And the whole things at Wolves is bad currently, you know, and they have a new manager now. In Vito Pereira coming, great. Will there be a manager bounce? We will see. But certainly the bounce this weekend won't be without Nouri. So if you have him like us, it's either time to sell him because he hasn't really delivered like we wanted, or at least bench him for the suspension. That's obviously very obvious. Personally, I know it's always hard for me to sell Paris born and bred players. Obviously,
what's about
reasons.
To happen here? Are you going to sell him?
I think I might, yeah. But I won't tell him. I'll wait until
finally you're realizing you need to play FPL with your head rather than your heart, Julien Laurent.
That's my downfall always, you know.
Yeah. Sam, for me, I think what's on the radar is their really tough run of fixtures. So I was going to keep him for this week and then probably part company anyway, because now there is a few other players around that point that you can swap him out for. For me, he feels like, depending on what else you've got going in your team, a pretty easy sell.
Yeah, I think so. It's interesting, isn't it? Because actually, I was going to have some benching headaches this week, and he's kind of helped that by being suspended, because he can just go on the bench. So if I do transfer him out, it kind of puts me back in the benching headaches conversation again. So I'm kind of, part of me is like, well, do I just wait a week, leave him, and then deal with him next week, when I could really do with having some new defenders in? That would also allow me to roll another transfer. I'd have three then. That'd be the first time I've made it to three, maybe, this season.
I love having three.
Yeah, I know. I've been a bit transfer happy this season.
I've got three this week as well.
Yeah, it's quite nice. So there is that. But I think George is right though, isn't he? Like 2 0-pointers, a 1-pointer, and then a minus two. Like, that is not what we expected from him when we were getting that run of fixtures. So he's definitely a sell, unless you can manage your team so much that you can bench him for this week. Because a lot of people might be looking at Munoz from Crystal Palace as a replacement. He's one of the ones that I was looking at. So I very nearly rage transferred him out on Saturday. It was one of those moments where I was like, right, you can just go. I'm done. I'm so done with you. You can leave. but I couldn't decide where I wanted to go. So there was kind of the Robinson conversation at Fulham. There was Munoz, who hadn't played yet. And I was a bit like, oh, I'm not happy about that. Kels, I know you've got Kerkez. He was one I was really looking at as well. And they didn't play till Monday.
I think there's cheaper options in the Bournemouth defence as well.
I think there is. Yeah, I think there is two now with the Senesi injury. So I was kind of looking at those three as options, but two of them hadn't played. And then there was the midweek fixtures. And I was like, I don't feel like I want to rush into this decision. So I've taken a couple of price drops and rises already and missed those just on the basis of, I think at this point in the season, time is really valuable and it's maybe more valuable than a 0.1 team value change. So yeah, he is definitely a sell. It's just if you do it this week or if you bench him this week to deal with something else instead.
Sorry if either of you guys mentioned, I don't think you did. The fact that he's banned now, just a reminder, guys, he's still on 4 yellow cards. So even if you do keep him and you think you want to play him on Boxing Day, maybe against Manchester United or you need to or whatever, then he could get a yellow card in that Manchester United game if he comes back into the team, which we imagine he will. But who knows, because Wolves will probably have a new manager by then. Then he could get banned again. So just kind of bear that in mind that once he comes back on Boxing Day, he's still on that, what we call in this podcast, suspension tightrope. Jules, in terms of replacement, Sam mentioned a few that were on our radar there. Who would you kind of put forward?
Yeah, so I think there's a few. You mentioned Kerkez that you have, Kerkez. And I've never been so happy by a West Ham penalty that Paqueta scored in the 87th minute on Monday night, because I knew you would not get a clean sheet. And that man, I beat you this week. So I was like celebrating. I was like, come on, Paqueta, come on the Paquet. But Kerkez is really good. I think 4.7 million, owned by 5.8% of the players. If you look at the Bournemouth fixtures coming up, United, Palace, Fulham, Everton, it's not too bad, to be fair.
And also, at that price, again, a bit like with Aitnori, I don't mind benching him.
Yeah, you're right.
So that's also why I bought him in. The only thing I would say is there's a couple of cheaper defenders there now where I could have saved 0.3 or 0.4
on
him.
Yeah, Houston is one.
Yeah, definitely.
And Mazraoui are 4.7 million. Robinson has 4.8, but they're heavily owned, 16%, 18%. Lewis Hall, that Sam and I have, they're still under 10, just about 9.7 when certainly from last night, are 4.6 million. So you still save a bit of money compared to Aitnori. And I guess maybe Milenkovic from Wolf Forest, because he also is a good threat on set pieces, 4.6 million and really lowly owned. Lowly owned, you said?
Yeah.
2.5%. So I think there's a lot of really nice options, certainly enough to say, okay, Aitnori, thank you very much but no, thank you, and then move him on.
But who's the best option, Jules? Come on, we know you like to sit on the bench. If you had to bring in one
right now, Lewis Hall for me, 4.6 million, still less than 10% owned. And after the weekend that he had, the momentum, Newcastle, I know, are still mid-table, but I think he will. Yeah, he's looking really, really sharp.
I'm just trying to resist bringing him in because I know both of you have him, and I quite like it when our teams are a little bit different to try and get the edge.
However, you always copy anyway. So,
however, when Hall, not you though, I normally copy Sam. However, when Hall got that big haul last week, I was like, oh, this is where it would help if I actually went with you guys, because I've obviously lost out on a lot of points here. A lot of managers, Sam, will also have Mikalenko, myself being one. And to be honest, over this period, I wasn't planning on selling him because he's so cheap. I was just going to bench him. But the Aitnori thing now plays into the fact that, okay, I don't really want to have two defenders that I have to kind of bench, and a couple of my players, I need to get my team up to remember, but there's, looking at my defence this week, I have to make a defensive transfer because of the fixtures as well. I'm going to have to play Mikalenko as it stands with Chelsea at home. Gabriel, Greaves is my other defender, so that's the reason where I've got Greaves and Aitnori on the bench. I'll have to play Mikalenko, and I wanted Mikalenko to be on my bench over this period, so he's another player that managers might have and might be looking to maybe move on or bench during this period.
Yeah, but I think Mikalenko's going to become a really, really nice asset from January. Like, the fixtures from January for Everton are really nice. So I don't think you want to be selling him. I think he'd be a player that I'm thinking about bringing in as my Aitnori replacement, because he wouldn't cause me a benching headache this week. I can just leave him sat on the bench for the next couple of weeks. But then into the future, he's nice and cheap. So it frees up a little bit of money for the assistant manager chip if you're looking to play that early on when it becomes available in 24. It also means that you're setting your team up for the future. So hopefully then you're preventing yourself from needing to play that second wildcard chip too early. And those things all play into my thinking. And I think when you look at Everton and Newcastle and Fulham, they rotate really nicely together. So if you've got, and like Jules and I have already got Lewis Hall in our team. So he can rotate quite nicely with Mikalenko. So in the weeks that I wouldn't want to play him, I can play the other one. If I like Jules, has got Robinson as well. So having those three would kind of be perfect for the next few months because you can just play them in the nice fixtures and then leave them out when you don't need them. So that is something that's massively playing into my thinking. Like at the minute, obviously I've got an 8 Nori sell issue that's going to come up. At the moment, I think I'll probably go for Robinson. I think he would be my preferred. Yeah, I think he's the best replacement for him if you already have Lewis Hall. I think if you haven't got Lewis Hall, then I think he's up there as well. But then after that, I think like I've got Dalot. If he doesn't start doing something a little bit more, then he can go and I can free up some money from selling him for Mikalenko going into the new year. And then I think the defence is set up really nicely because then you've got your two premium assets, probably in two Arsenal, maybe an Arsenal and a Liverpool.
I was going to say that, Sam, do you still need, so spoiler alert, I have freed up some funds with one of my transfers in midfield and bought in Enzo. It's a transfer I didn't really want to do this week in terms of getting rid of Mbeumo, but I need to do it at some point to get some funds because I feel, as you said at the beginning of the podcast, like a differential for you and something that's really helping your rank rise is having double premium defence. I don't have that. So I needed to free up some funds. I'm already regretting selling Mbeumo though. I bought in Enzo before a price rise. I'm already selling it. This would be probably wasn't the week to sell him with Forest at home. Mm. But I've done it because so now I've got three transfers. And I'm actually looking, I don't have double premium defence. So would you recommend to someone like myself that you need a double premium defence? So actually, if you can get from 8 Nori up to an Arsenal defender or maybe a Liverpool defender, you should.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you have to carefully think about how your team is structured and managed. But we have so many nice, cheap midfielders in the game right now that we can go to. And Enzo is definitely one of them, Kels. And I don't think that's a bad transfer. It might hurt you this week with Brentford being at home. But I think in the long term, that's a good decision. But I think if you can free up the money and have the double defence, you don't even have to pay that much money for the double defence. Like I've done it at the cheapest way impossible by having Raya and Timber. And it's working really nicely. They're picking up regular points. It's, you know, it's been great. And I think everybody pretty much in the game has an Arsenal defender of some kind, whether it be Gabriel or Saliba or Timber or Raya. Somebody has, most managers have at least one of them. If you then double them and have two, yes, it's painful if the clean sheet goes. But with the Arsenal defence, they are solid usually. So
having often one of them gets an attacking return recently.
Yeah. Exactly. So if you can double them up, it gives you the opportunity, I think, to get an advantage over everybody else. And I think the same is said with Liverpool. Like, Liverpool defensive assets are difficult. Alisson now actually seems to be quite good value for money. And if I was wildcarding right now, I'd probably have Alisson in goals simply because he's so much cheaper. And he's cheaper than Breyer now as well. And then you've got the conversation between whether you have Trent or whether you have Virgil van Dijk and how you manage that. I think Konate is going to be back in January. So maybe you can afford to wait on the Liverpool assets a little bit and get him then because he's cheaper. But I think it's one of those, isn't it? That if you can get to a Liverpool asset or an Arsenal, extra Arsenal defender from 8 Nori, then I think that's well worth doing.
Jules, I'm looking at your defence and you've got a lot of the players that we've mentioned in terms of you've got one Arsenal defender, you've got Lewis Hall, you've got Anthony Robinson, and they're probably the two standout options, as Sam and I have said, for 8 Nori.
Yeah.
You've got Fars, who I'm presuming is just going to remain as your final substitute. and 8 Nori is your other one. So are you tempted to go up to another premium because you've only got Henderson in goal? It's not like you've got Raya.
Yeah, and I think the goalkeeper situation, which has been a problem, it's like what Sam used to go through pretty much every single season for the last few years. Like, since Areola was obviously dropped onto the bench by Lopetegui at West Ham, like, I don't really know what to do and I don't have much money to invest in goalkeepers. Anyway, I would love Raya because I think he's the one to get, really, if you go and get a goalkeeper. But I just, the way that my team is structured, I can't do it.
Surprised, just because since you sold Haaland, do you not have some money left?
Absolutely not. But you know, I'm a spender anyway. Like, it's not.
You're a flash guy.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. You know that. Just look at me. Mm-hmm. So I mean, Raya makes a lot of sense. But if you can't go to Raya like me, you might be able to go to Timber.
So you don't have any funds in your bank to even upgrade an 8 Nori to a Timber?
I've got 0.4 in the bank, so I might be able to do Timber, but I've got other things that I want to do anyway, like you will see in the transfer section. Yeah, so I think I know it because you're right, because my defense is okay, I can play Hall, Robinson and Saliba at the weekend. They've got Crystal Palace, Ipswich and Southampton. So that's decent for the back three. Henderson in goal. Okay, I hope for the best in that case.
Standard. That's what I do every week with my team.
I know.
I got Fleckham because he's got one assist and probably minus four clean sheets.
He's got one clean sheet. He's got the same amount of clean sheets as assists counts.
That's amazing, yeah.
Great.
So, and then see for the rest. But yeah, no, ideally I would like to have two Arsenal defenders. Or Virgil, because like Sam said, I think we forget that Virgil is having a really good season, certainly in terms of fancy foot. He's the second best defender behind Gabriel and not that far behind, I think just a point behind. So Virgil would be great too, but right now I don't think he's the priority for me.
Okay, so Jules, as always, has got a load of headaches and he's going round and round in circles with not much money in the bank and probably won't be able to do any of those things. No, but it's interesting hearing your convoluted thought process because it's similar to what a lot of managers
will have
in terms of wanting. I just thought you'd have had a little bit more money in the bank because you haven't really got any premiums in that defensive line at all. But I guess maybe it's because you've got... Well, I can't work out actually where all your money's gone, to be honest.
No, me neither. I think somebody must have stolen some. I don't know where it's gone. Like, the game is
there's
wrong.
There's been a theft at Sambi on Ice. There's been a theft. Someone's stolen his money.
Sambi on Ice was targeted and then look at it's clearly, I need to look into it.
What's your team value? All right, okay, we'll have to do this off. I'm trying to see your team value now.
No, we should be on this thing.
Yeah, his team value is 102, so it's not that bad.
Nico is expensive, to be fair. He's almost 8 million.
And Cunha, to be fair.
And Cunha as well.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have a João Pedro issue, do you? So.
No, I only have superstars and expensive players. But, you know, there's a difference between costly and expensive. So my players are just costly, not expensive.
Okay. Right. Anyway, moving on from George's financial woes, let's talk. I know this isn't actually written on the script, but I just you mentioning Cunha there. If we're going to stick with the Wolves theme, I've seen a lot of people not knowing what to do with Cunha. Now, by the time this podcast comes out, maybe we'll have more news on what's happening with him. But of course, he has been charged by the FA, which is always a little bit of a worry. That doesn't mean he is banned yet. We don't know what the outcome is going to be. I don't know when we'll hear. So it's a little bit of guesswork. And although by the time this podcast comes out, as I said, Sam, we could be old on the news, I think it's worth just mentioning how to kind of view it. Because again, with those Wolves fixtures turning for next week from Manchester United at home on Boxing Day, they're not as nice. Is now the time to kind of sell him or just to wait to hear if he is going to get any ban or anything?
I don't think you can sell him ahead of the weekend and a game against Leicester, because if he's not banned and he can play.
He won't be banned before Leicester anyway.
No, then you're going to want him for that game. However, I think immediately after the Leicester game, he can be sold. Because I think most of us, when we looked, if we go back, like, what was it, game week 6, that we all went, oh, Wolves, the fixtures are turning. All right, they've had a poor start to the season, but now's the moment. And we all, like, went heavy on them. Like, I had Strand Larson for a while, as well as Aitnori. You've both had Cunha and Aitnori. Like, it's been...
Cunha's been all right, to be fair. I've enjoyed having him.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think, you know, we all went heavy on Wolves, but there was always an end point, and the end point always felt like it was Boxing Day. Like, it always felt like Boxing Day was going to be the moment where you just exited Wolves, because after that the fixtures then, like, Man United, what is it, Man U, Spurs, Forest, Newcastle, Chelsea, Arsenal, Villa, Liverpool. I mean, that is awful.
You don't even want to play if you're a Wolf player. So.
No, they want to be, you know, tucked up in front of the fire with some marshmallows and hot chocolate.
Gary O'Neill's got out at the right point, hasn't he, really?
Gary O'Neill's living his best life over Christmas now. But yeah, I think... that was always going to be the moment anyway, but I think you have to hold, like, if you've got a Wolves asset that is actually available, as in they aren't Aitnori, and at the moment Cunha is available and probably will be for the weekend, you just hold. And then as soon as that Leicester game is played, you can do it as soon as the ball is kicked, if you like, as soon as they kick off, transfer them out, because you will have to act quickly, because obviously, you know, we do have that midweek round of fixtures starting on Boxing Day, and you don't want to be... eating your turkey and making transfers. So
don't pretend that isn't what you do.
That is what I do, Kelly. Yeah, exactly. Serve the dinner to everybody and then start making transfers and ignore everybody. No, that is not how it works in my house. In my house, we set it up on Christmas Eve just before we go to bed, and then we do not look at it again until Boxing Day. That's how it is. I have to pay attention to the children over Christmas. So I think for me, Cunha would be a hold for Leicester and then a sell immediately after. And it's going to be one of those now where actually, if you have Cunha, nobody's going to buy him at the moment. So he will now be a nice, because I can't buy him now on the basis that I might have done for that Leicester game, just as because my front line is in the absolute mire at the moment. But obviously I can't now facing a ban. So yeah, I think he might actually end up being quite a nice differential for you two, which is annoying.
Jules, is that what your plan is, just to leave him for this week?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, keep him for this week. And I think in a way, after what happened at the end of that Wolves-Ipswich game, I think he would want to redeem himself in a way, because I think there might be a ban coming up after that, and he will know, and by then we might know it too. So that could be a really good game against a team that is a bit struggling too, to be fair. And Cunha, as we've been saying all season, he's been really the only bright, or the main bright, from this Wolves team. So it could be really good against Leicester. And after that, the fixture list is so horrendous that even if he was on good form and not suspended, we probably would sell him anyway. So we would do that.
You're going to have loads of money then, Jules, as well.
Yeah, because I want to get to Isak.
Let's also not make out that Cunha's 10 million though. Jules, he's not going to free up that much money for
you.
Still,
like, 7.1. It's still a lot of money.
Yeah,
I'm still confused where all your money's gone. I'm not being funny.
look at that 7.1 and 7.9 for Nico.
So you need to free up some. You need to free up some money to be able to get to Isak, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
The forward lines again. This wasn't what we kind of planned on talking about, but I think it Sam, you mentioning what? How did you phrase your forward line at the moment? Is in the
mire?
In the mire.
I
think there's been a bit of a sea change, hasn't there? In terms of recently, we've been completely spoiled with forwards, and now I wouldn't say we're not spoiled, but it's just slightly slimmer pickings. Whereas before, it was like, oh, you could go for Chris Wood, you could go for Joao Pedro, you could go for Danny Welbeck, you could go for Evan Nielsen, and so on and so on. It feels like now it's Isak, Cunha maybe for one more week, and then Jackson.
Jackson is the one.
But all of a sudden, a lot of us are on Cunha, so we're going to have to sell him. A lot of us also want to sell Joao Pedro too. So there's a lot of movement in that area, isn't there?
Yeah, I knew this was going to happen. From the minute I sold Haaland, I knew that my front line would cause me issues, because I just don't like it. Like, I like having... like the set and almost like set and
I like
forget
having do you not like having I like having like one premium one slightly yep. cheaper and then one really really cheap one that occasionally you can bench, but it is it's like two of them don't really move, and then every week or so should I play my third forward or should I play my final midfielder.
100%. And over the last like 12 years it's been like, right, I've got Haaland there, and before I had Haaland there I had Kane there. And before I had Kane there was always like a really expensive forward that you just have there, and it was lovely, and you could just know that they were in your team every week and you didn't have to worry about them, and 9 times out of 10 they were on penalties as well, and it was just fabulous. Now I look at my team and it's got Dom Solanke as the most expensive forward.
How long are you sticking with Dom Solanke, by the way?
And maybe not anymore.
Ooh.
It's an easy fixture next.
Oh yeah, it's brilliant. In my house,
watching
as well
on YouTube, I had a really sarcastic face on.
Yeah,
I love that game in my house.
It's Liverpool, you know, home, guys, just in case you didn't know.
Just to have a Christmas row, that'll be great. So I don't know, Kelly, is the honest answer. I would like to have Isak or Jackson in that position, but I'm kind of torn because I'm going to really struggle to have both of those two in my team and still have a decent third option. So like, I could go for Raul Jimenez, that's an option. He's nice and cheap. He's going to start most games. Muniz might come on for some over Christmas, but I would expect Jimenez to start most, and he's a bit cheaper. So I could go there instead of Joao Pedro. But to get from Solanke to Isak and from Evan Nielsen to Jackson, that's a lot of budget. So there's no way that's going to happen, because I've got the double Arsenal defence and I don't want to sell them. I've got a premium stacked midfield. I could sell Bruno, but I don't think I want to do that just yet. Like, I'm quite enjoying owning Bruno Fernandes at the moment. So at the moment, I'm not.
Each week
I'm
you say
keen.
He's a maybe sell.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then every week, but only because I think, you know, I could downgrade him and stay invested in Manchester United and free up like 3+ million. And then that 3+ million does get me towards the Isak and Jackson combo. I think Isak for this week coming is great, but I think in the longer term, I'd rather have Jackson. So Solanke to Jackson, that might happen, but then I have got no Spurs and I don't like that.
Fair enough.
It's just one of my rules of FPL.
Fair
it's
enough.
Like Jules in his Paris
yeah,
born.
Yeah,
bed,
I understand. I hear you.
You pair of losers. okay, so, and Jules, you've got a few headaches. You will have a headache with your forward line once.
Yeah, I like Isak. I mean, Evan Nielsen, since I brought him in, has stopped performing anyway. So like, not sure about him. And then Cunha obviously will have to go at some point. I keep Nico Jackson, who I'm very happy with, and I've got a lot of value in.
You've had him for ages.
I've invested in him. Yeah. I mean, I think he became very good once I brought him in, because that's the influence I can have on people.
But you only bought him because you couldn't have Palmer, right? Yeah. That was at the time when you were keeping...
You should behave.
No, but he was ahead of... But also, Jules, you were ahead of the curve, weren't you?
That's true.
Thank you very much.
No, well, I'm going to agree with Sam and say you did used to say that you couldn't avoid Palmer, so you had Jackson.
Palmer, yeah.
But now everyone is going for the... Jackson Palmer double up.
Exactly.
So you were ahead of the curve, weren't you?
Or triple up with Enzo as well.
I think,
Kelly,
I'm going to be on a triple up soon, because I'll be bringing in Jackson once I get rid of Cunha. Yeah. So
I know.
Yeah, we're all following Julian Neuron. That's
it's
what
okay.
We're doing.
That's
it's
what people
weird,
do.
What is this?
It's quite a weird place to be in, to be honest.
Strange. No, it's a great place to be.
That can't end well, can it? We're just following Jules.
Just quick, let's end this. We've ended up having a defensive and forward line chat that was meant to be just a defensive chat, but I think the Wolves kind of headaches have kind of compounded those kind of parts of our teams. What would you say, Sam, let's start with the defence. If you were to pick a brand new defence right now, you had a wild card, what would your defence be, firstly?
Oh, what a question that is.
Or who are the five best to pick?
I think I'd go Timber and Virgil, Hall, Robinson, Mikalenko.
No, Gabriel.
No, because I think...
You'd have Raya.
If you go... Because I'd have Raya, so I think I'd save the budget.
Okay. What about forward line?
Jackson.
You have to have Isak. He's the most.
If money's no object, Jackson, Isak, and Raul Jimenez, probably.
Raul Jimenez, he's someone that we haven't mentioned too much, but he's going to garner a bit of attention, isn't he? Fulham keep on pulling those big results out. Jules, what about you?
So I'll go for Saliba, obviously. Saliba, Hall, Robinson. Probably a Mikolenko, and then depending on the fifth one. Fias is... It's 4.1 million. It costs you nothing.
It can't be in your best defence, Jules.
It's there.
Jules,
but you need one. You would need one that will stay on the bench anyway. That's the way
but
I
just,
see
just
it.
Just stretch yourself up to like a 4.3.
So then,
I suppose you've already said Mikalenko, haven't you?
Yeah. No, but then, so then, okay. So then
Anderson, when he's back, he's 4.2.
Yeah, that's true. That's probably a little bit better than Fires.
Yeah.
But I like a Virgil or...
A bit more expensive.
Yeah, more expensive. But then you said money is no problem.
Other.
So
Yeah.
I mean, even...
Well, apart from in your team, Jules, where you have none, then it's a problem.
Yeah, it is a problem.
Yeah. Okay. So, forward line, Jules.
So I'll have Nico, my boy, obviously. This is your old line, as we said. Isak, I think Isak is so, so good right now. Yeah. And then the third one, I'm not sure, but definitely not Evan Nilsson, who is my third one right now. That's my problem.
Yeah, they've got nice fixtures though, and they are playing well. So it does feel like at any point it could turn for him.
True.
But yeah, they aren't...
You know what's going to happen though, don't you? As soon as you sell him.
Of course.
Yeah.
Now he's missing big chances. Because I think.
Could you do it now? Because I've got him as well. So
no,
if you sell him now,
I'll keep him
then
for the United
bang
game,
for me.
And then I move for East.
I would also quite like him as I'm hoping that he finds some form, because I'm planning on doing eventually, I'll have the money to go from Cunha to Jackson, and then I would quite like Pedro to become Evan Nilsson. But I need Evan Nilsson to actually find some form justify me buying him.
Because he's got some XG of like 0.5, 0.6, and he scores nothing. So,
Yeah, it's annoying,
Jules, that is a wonderful link onto the next section. We don't have as long as we were originally going to have on this, but we did want to have a quick chat about underlying data. Of course, when we talk about underlying data, it basically helps us pick out the players who are most involved as it stands, and therefore should have the best opportunities for points in FPL. I'm saying should because it's the likes of Evan Nilsson. He should be getting more points.
Should, yeah.
Yeah.
Should.
So it's things like shots on target, expected goals, assists, involvement, set piece threat, etc., etc. Sam, like I said, we don't have quite as long to talk about this as ever on this podcast. We've gone over on the early sections. And I just threw in a forwards chat that we weren't meant to have, but I wanted to have it. How important, as someone that spends a lot of time looking at this data, firstly, I'm joking, but a lot of your week is spent looking at your data. You don't just come on this podcast, do you, and just say, oh, I like Jackson, I like Raul Jimenez. These are the kind of numbers that form all of the things that you tell us on this pod.
All day, every day, pretty much, Kels, that I spend looking at data. And if you'd have told me I was going to be doing that when I was younger and I hated maths.
It's quite a niche career as well, isn't it?
It is a very much a niche career. But yeah, I spend a lot of time looking at the underlying metrics, and some of them I find more valuable than others. So some of them I'm like, I just don't pay much attention to it, because the underlying data kind of has to go along with the eye test. Like, you have to use them in conjunction. If you just look at the underlying data, you'd end up investing in some players who have lots of shots, but those shots, a bit like, so Darwin obviously ranks highly for shots, but they're everywhere most of the time. Like, half the time they're not on target. So you have to kind of use them in conjunction with the shots on target that have to be looked at the same time. When you're looking at big chances and chances, I have to look at them in conjunction with each other, because they're going to get chances. But if they're not big chances, there's a lot of chances in this chat. Mm-hmm. A lot of the chances of them scoring a goal is smaller. Yeah, it's a chance chat. So I spend a lot of time looking at it. I pay more attention to some metrics than others. The expected data is a massive thing for me, because I watch every game. So every game plus the expected data, you get a good judgment on where things are going. And some of them I'll kind of just have in the background and think, well, you know, they're having a lot of shots. What am I seeing on the pitch? And does that correlate with what they're getting? So yeah, I'm a little bit sad, I'll be honest, but underlying data is my thing.
Okay. How much attention do you pay to underlying data, Jules? Do I know the answer to this?
Yeah, loads. But I do it outside of FPL anyway, for the normal work that we do as well.
Normal work.
On football, like other work, I should say.
Yeah.
And I think it's important, and you don't need to spend hours, because the thing with data and underlying data is that once you start looking, you're there for hours, because it is quite fascinating if you like that kind of stuff, obviously, like us. And you don't need to spend too long. You just need to focus on what's important for you, depending on the positions of the players that you're looking for, whether they're defenders, midfielders, or strike or forwards. You look at different stuff, obviously, because it's not the same stats for everybody. But it's really important, even basic stuff like touches in the box and things like that. Quality of shots, Sam is right, for a forward, is very important. You can have XG per shot now as well that players take. So you see if the shots that they're taking are highly to end up in the goal or not, if they're good shots, good chances, et cetera, et cetera. So all of that is very important. It depends how much time you have, obviously, to prepare for your team and the players that you want in your team or not. But yeah, we should encourage everybody to have a look at it. Some are easy to find, some are a bit more difficult. You need to look, but you've got some special apps website that are very well explained and show everything. Mm-hmm. And then you can get a grip very quickly.
Sam, you've taken a look at the last six matches. You did matches rather than game weeks because, of course, the Merseyside derby was postponed. So if we'd have done game weeks, it would have been skewed a little bit by that. When you were taking a look, what kind of stood out for you?
I mean, I think some of it just reiterates all the things that we know, like the fact that Saka's top for XA over that period is no surprise, really. But it does mean that, you know, because a lot of people are going, oh, should I sell Saka? Like, the amount of people that have messaged me lately to go, should I sell Saka? And I'm just like, well, no. Like, all right, he's not really returned in the way that we would have wanted to, but the underlying numbers are there. And with Saka, he's so consistent usually that he's not the sort of player you get rid of. So when I'm looking at the data, I'm kind of like, okay, sometimes you have to change it. So for example, Son is top for big chances created, but he has in that period of time had that game against Southampton where we were just creating chances every 5 minutes. So you do have to pay attention to that. But more I'm looking at other players who appear on lists that maybe are a bit more unexpected, that you wouldn't necessarily expect to see there. And when I see them sitting there, I then think, right, is there something that I can pick up from that? And that helps inform my differential picks. So these are the kind of the cheaper assets. I like to use it as a way of trying to maximize the returns that I might get out of my more budget-friendly picks. The premiums, I don't pay too much attention to the data for. It just exists because I know that over the course of the season, they'll come good, but it's for that kind of mid-priced bracket.
Who's
of
jumping
players,
out there? Go on, and everyone's shouting at you. Which players that aren't premiums are jumping out?
Well, so like for set piece threat, that's one I look at a lot because that's just an additional route to points that's really lovely. And when you have a look at the players that are in there, like Milenkovic, who we touched on in the defence chat at the beginning, he's up there. He's top for attempts from set pieces. There's 2, 4, 6 of them on 7 attempts from set pieces. Now, as we see from Arsenal, if you get a lot of set piece threats, that's a good opportunity for a goal. So he's one that I'm looking at. Eze has massively creeped back up through the stats. So if you look at Eze's underlying stats since he's come back from injury, he's really high on a lot of metrics. So he's one that I'm kind of keeping a very close eye on because the Palace fixtures are about to become quite nice as well. So players like them, they're ones that I like to kind of focus in on. Even Suchek, like, feels like a fair few seasons now when we all had Suchek.
He was
remember
the guy, wasn't he?
Yeah, I don't. I was trying to remember when that was. Maybe it's like 3 or 4 seasons ago. We all had him. He's creeping back up into those metrics as well. And if West Ham can find a little bit of form, like he's one that's on my watch list for over the next few weeks because he's there in that set piece threat. And that's something that I like to target. So use the metrics to pick out your differentials would be my advice.
Jules, you've mentioned that you talk a lot about it in your other lines of work. Anyone that you've spotted recently that Sam hasn't picked out there?
No, I mean, there's something funny about Manchester City, really, because Phil Foden still ranks really high in terms of expected assists, for example. So that means he's creative. He's not that far from Saka, actually. And yet, you would not want to invest in him for now because City are obviously in disarray and it's a complete shambles and Foden is not returning anything. So it's not even if he was playing well in the catastrophic crisis run that they have at the moment. So there's those things you will find in looking at the stats where you think, okay, so let's keep an eye. A bit like what Sam just said about Eze. Just, you don't have to bring Eze or Foden now or even Milenkovic, but just keep an eye on them and those stats. And if the stats stay high, then you know that at some point if you want a new defender or a new midfielder or if you feel like your gut feelings are like, let's go for Foden. I think City are turning things around and Foden would be at the heart of all of that. Or for somebody else, then that's the right time then to go and invest in him.
Yeah, definitely worth paying attention to and proof that Sam doesn't just pluck these players and Jules don't just pluck these players out of thin air. There is some kind of madness, method even behind the madness. I was going to say,
there's definitely some madness.
There's madness
as well.
Behind the method, but there's also some method behind the madness, I promise you. Just a quick update, as we always try and do, on the suspensions, because at this time of year, it's just bonkers and it's even more bonkers when you throw in those red cards I spoke about at the beginning of the pod. So the players that will miss out in game week 16 are Cucurella and Ait Nouri. That's because of their reds. Joelinton, Pereira, Munoz, and Dilap all got their 5th yellow, so they will also be suspended for game week 17, joining Jack Stevens and Bentancur. Robertson, by the way, will play in game week 17 because he will serve his ban in the League Cup. Broya, by the way, will also miss game week 17 as he is ineligible to face his parent club. Okay, that time of the week again where I'm going to rush you through your differentials. I was going to say we'll go with the winner last week, but it was tight. The differentials got a total of 5 points. And unfortunately, that was split between the two. So Jules picked Evan Nielsen, who, as we've just discussed, isn't getting any points. We went Bournemouth heavy, didn't we? I think I even mentioned it in the intro. Sam went for Semenyo. 3 points. And he missed
chances too, to be fair.
But also, he only got that additional point because he went off before the clean sheet was lost. Otherwise, he'd have been on 2 points. So, yeah, a really good week, guys. Well done. Yeah. I think that just about means that Sam wins. So, as you pulled me up on it last week, the winner goes first. So, off you go.
So, I'm going to go for Mohamed Kudus this week. So, 6.2 million. He's only owned by 2.5% of the game. And mostly that's because he's just come back from that long suspension. He's facing a Brighton side who haven't kept a clean sheet since game week 8. And they've conceded 15 goals in their last 8 game weeks. So they might be scoring at Brighton, apart from Ifeanyi Pedro, who's not getting anything, but they're not keeping clean sheets. Now, across that West Ham team, only Bowen has had more attempts on goal than Kudus this season. He's had 34 compared to 40 for Bowen. And that's despite playing 5 games less because of the suspension. He's also created 13 chances, although only 2 of those have been big chances. So you have to kind of tamper that enthusiasm a little bit there. And he supplied 34 crosses again. Only Bowen and Emerson can do better. And when I was looking at the stats over the last 6 weeks, when it comes to chances created, only Palmer's had more across the midfielders, but in fact, across the whole game. So Palmer's had 25 and Kudus has had 24. So I think he's going to have opportunities against that Brighton defence. And West Ham do tend to score goals. So hopefully there might be something there.
That's a bit of a Jules pick, that is, Mohamed Kudus. Feels like he's the kind
of guy. Yeah,
he would
normally like go
for
him a lot.
Yeah. Jules, who are you going for?
So I'm going for Kevin Schade from Brentford. 5.1 million, only owned by 0.8%. So that's a super differential. Just for that, I deserve some extra points if he returns this weekend.
Not this again.
He's in great form because he's returning his last 4 Premier League games. Assist, goal, assist, and then that very famous game, obviously, when he got, I think, 23 points with the hat-trick and the assist too. They are home to Forest this weekend, and Brentford, as we know, are the best home team of the whole Premier League this season. Incredible. They've won every game, but one that was a draw. It started in midweek in the League Cup, but a lot of first team or key starters usually started in that game, like Wissa, for example, and Lewis Potter, etc. So I don't think that's too much of a sign of him starting or not at the weekend. I think he will start at the weekend. And he's been in great form for somebody who was not that consistent before. The consistency over the last four game weeks has been really interesting.
Interesting. Yeah, that's one word to put it. Okay, then transfers and captains. As always, we're going to trademark phrase, rattle through this. Sam, you've got three transfers. You're going to go wild.
No, I've got two. Oh, okay. I've got two at the moment. So I'm either going to do nothing and have three for next week and just stick Kate Norrie on the bench and play Dallow, which feels fine. Mm-hmm. Or I'm going to sell Kate Norrie and bring in Robinson. Or, and this is why I don't know what I'm doing yet, or I'm going to go absolutely rogue and sell Bruno and sell Evan Nilsson and get Isak and bring in Ahmed instead. So I'd still keep Manchester United cover, but I'm so torn on whether I want to sell Bruno that I'm probably not going to do it.
If you're not sure, doesn't always mean that it's the right decision, does it? Like me selling Brian and Bummo this week, we all know what happens next. Captain Sam?
It's on Salah at the minute and I hate myself for it. I don't know. I don't know who's captain. If I've got Isak, I'd probably captain him.
If you took your emotional feelings about teams out of the window, would Salah be the best option?
Apart from Isak, I think so, yes. Yeah, which, and I don't have Isak, so I'm probably going to have to captain Salah against Spurs. Yeah.
Okay. Jules, firstly, your transfers.
So I've got three free transfers. I think I keep Ait Nouri on the bench and bring Robinson in with Hall and Saliba, as we mentioned before. I think I might do Ahmad Diallo for Brandon Johnson. Because I think Ahmad is in great form, really amazing what he's been doing. And I probably won't get to Isak, and I can't get to Isak just this week.
Going Ahmad though, will that also free up a little bit more money for you?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Compared to, I think he's a million cheaper than Brandon Johnson or something like that. Something, so that's like good. That. And then I can have, I also want to keep Cunha against Leicester. So then I can move for Isak the following week with one of the free transfers that I will have. So I think it looks like just Ahmad for Brandon Johnson at the moment.
So basically I need to pray that Isak fills his boots this week before you two jump on the train.
Exactly.
Sorry, did you mention captain?
And the captain, it's on Salah right now. Although I think Udogie can do really well against Salah, I won't lie.
I hope so.
No, I think he will. And I'm not sure I fancy Palmer where Everton or even Saka or Palace either.
It's tough this week, isn't it? With all the options last week.
Yeah, and Arsenal against the back five, as we saw a little bit in that first half, before Saka came on in midweek in the League Cup. And then, yeah, Palmer, Everton. I think Everton could do a really good defensive job like they did against Arsenal too, even against this super informed Chelsea team. So probably keep on Salah.
Okay, yeah, it looks like there's a treble up on Salah captains, though I am tempted by Newcastle Ipswich. If it was Ipswich at home, I wouldn't be hesitating, but Newcastle away from home, Ipswich at home, slightly trickier decision, but that's true. My favourite thing on this script is that Sam this week quote that it's an 11:30 PM deadline on Saturday.
So
Sam is trying to trip me up and make me miss the deadline.
It's also not the right time at all.
No,
it's an 11 AM
yes,
deadline.
So it's the wrong minutes, it's the wrong hour, it's just a random made up time.
That's mean. That's really mean before Christmas.
It is, isn't it?
What is that?
Fortunately, I'm completely on it. And Sam, it's actually my birthday on Saturday, so yeah. I'm going to sort my team out before then. So I don't need to worry about when the deadline is, but it is 11 AM on Saturday, contrary to what Sam's trying to trip us up with. That's 90 minutes ahead of the 12:30 kickoff between Aston Villa and Man City. So we had a bit longer last week to sort our teams out in the absence of an early game, but there is an early game this week. So get your team sorted by 11 AM. We're going to be back with you on Monday. Now, your schedule
Monday?
In terms of...
okay. No, I didn't know.
Early. It's early.
He's not even
well,
joking,
Jules.
Guys.
What do you mean? Early,
Jules, do you know what time we're doing Monday?
Absolutely not.
Yes, you do, because we've already had an argument about this.
We do. Yeah. We've had a conversation
7 a.m.,
about this.
8 a.m.
7 a.m.
No, 7:45.
Oh, 7:45.
Okay, it's not so bad. No, it's 7:45. Okay. I only needed it a little
guys,
bit
guys, we can
earlier.
Do this outside of the pod. We'll do pod admin outside of it. I've been told to hurry up and wrap, and now we're arguing over times of podcasts. It turns out that both Jules and I didn't know what time we were recording, so I would have turned up 45 minutes early. Jules wouldn't have turned up at all. So yeah, it would have been a great
not.
Pod. Anyway, promise you, we'll get ourselves together and we'll be back with you on Monday. We'll be nice and early on Monday morning, and then that does mean that the pod will hopefully be out with you in early afternoon on Monday, because no one wants to be listening to a pod. We're not stupid. You're not going to be listening to us while you're unwrapping your Christmas presents on Christmas Day. So we're going to try and get to you on the 23rd. So there's plenty of time for you to sort those teams out ahead of Boxing Day. Of course, that is game week 18. There's then fixtures on the 26th and 27th. Then another deadline on the 29th as well. So that does mean there's going to be FPL pods, fantasy shows galore. I'm going to be back tomorrow with the fantasy show. Unfortunately, I'm not around next week. So Ian will be back with a fantasy show on TV for you on Monday and on Friday. And yeah, there'll be pods here, there and everywhere in between as well. So just keep refreshing your feed. And this Christmas, you're not going to be able to escape us. Sorry about that. In fact, what better Christmas present could you want than loads of a random Frenchman, an FPL expert, and me not knowing what day of the week
it is? Well, George wants some money for his FPL team for Christmas.
Yeah, I mean, no, I just want to recover the money that was stolen from me somewhere there.
There's been a robbery at Sandby on Ice. Could Father Christmas please find the money? We've lost the plot, guys. On that note, have a great weekend. See you next week. See you on Monday. What time, Jules?
7:45.
But the pod will be out later. Bye.